from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
R-T-I. Welcome to Postcard from Pop Red. Boy, this could be fun. We've got storms down in Australia with houses and studios shaking. We've got the sun shining in the glorious Slovakia. And when we cross over to the UK, it'll be moaning and groaning and winding and griping. Anyway, I'm in the sunny part. My name's Eric Wiltshire. This is Postcard from Poprad because we're in the town of Poprad at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains. And hello, everybody. How are you? Trust you're better than what we're about to receive. Because what we're about to receive is Mr. Grumpyville. Mr. I've got a headache. Mr. I dropped a penny on my little toe and it hurts. Lee Bass.
I'm not talking to you now.
Well, you just did.
I know. I've got to talk to you to tell you I'm not talking to you. But as of the point when I finish saying I'm not talking to you, I'm refusing to talk to you. I'll talk to Rachel.
Will you?
I'll tell him what you want me to tell him.
It's Rachel. Got Rachel. I got him. Bong.
She's about to blow off.
Bong. Because
I
you.
Oh,
excuse me. When I said about Rachel, you said yes. So, bong, you're out, Mr. Banks.
What's he talking about, Rachel?
I don't know.
He's talking bong. He's never had a bong in his life. He doesn't even drink properly.
That's true. He drinks... What was that stuff called?
Beaujolais.
Bootleg? What?
Beaujolais. What's a bottle of Beaujolais? That wouldn't even wet the sides.
Do you want me to tell the story of when your lady carried you home?
She didn't carry me on because you just make it up. It just isn't true. He gave me, you know, that stuff you're not supposed to drink, absinthe. Absinthe makes the heart
grow. Oh,
grow.
That's evil.
Yeah. Well, he fed me a bottle of absinthe because he thought it was funny.
No.
And what happened was, I was a little bit tipsy. I admit I was a little bit tipsy. And what happened was, Andrea didn't carry me home. She couldn't carry me home. I'm 20 stone and 7'3", right? We walked down the street, a bit wobbly, the pair of us, holding hands. That to him is her carrying me out.
The truth is, dear listener, he didn't get halfway through the bottle, and Andrea had to take his arm, put it under his shoulder to direct him in the right places.
What a
Anyway, this is allegedly a sideways look at the news programme. Over in America, we'll talk to them in a minute as well. But first of all, we need the roving reporter's weather report from Darwin.
Oh, well, I'm calling you from outside. It's really windy.
That's Rachel.
It's really windy. It's 150-kilometre winds outside.
Ooh,
I don't know what that is in the old money. And it's raining horizontally, and there's a big storm right above us, and I feel like Boeing, whichever number you like, is going to land on the roof. The thunder's that loud. But hopefully my microphone's really expensive enough for you not to hear it.
Oh, right.
But sometimes I might be alarmed and exclaim every now and again, and if I do, apologise. And if I disappear altogether, I apologise for that too.
So if we hear a creaking sound and a rushing of wind, we know the roof's come off.
No, we know Rob's right. Come in the room.
Well, they've had beans for breakfast. Anyway, hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, Dubrigin, Non-Stop Radio, and just about everywhere else, and Replay and Windows 8 and places and stuff and things. We are going to be serious for a little bit before. For you techies around, we've been over, well, we haven't physically been over, we've been to have a look at the Consumer Electronics Show, CES, in Las Vegas, which I have to say is a dream to go to. If ever you get a chance to go to CES in Las Vegas, please go. It's better than wasting your money going to Memphis to see where Elvis used to live, that's for sure.
Is it really interesting, Rachel?
I'm with Eric on this, Lee. I think I really am. I'm with Eric on this. Anything I avoid going to Graceland for is all right.
I'm not talking to you either, then.
You're going to have a really lonely show.
No, he's going to be friends with himself as a schizophrenic.
That's fine. That's fine by me. I get on with me.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Anyway,
I get an intelligent conversation.
Yeah. Actually, no, of course, you're right.
What? Am I?
Yes.
Oh, I'm not talking to you, sorry.
No, you would be right. Think of all the electricity you'd save.
Why?
Because we wouldn't need all the Mancunian decoders on so the people outside could understand what you're saying.
Yeah, just be talking
to yourself. He's just being stupidly. I know, he is, man. Honestly, I listen to him all the time, you know. I talk to him quite a lot, but honestly, it's just a waste of time. I know, I've done it as well, you know. He just is, isn't it?
Anyway,
let's start with this show.
We are going to be very serious about this first one because I genuinely believe this youngster is the most heroic person of my lifetime. I can't think of anybody who's done something greater in terms of the human people race around him. I just can't think of anybody. And I know we've spoken and we've been honoured by talking to people on this show who've done so much work. Uh-huh. But a young teenager was killed this week when tackling a suicide bomber in his school. For somebody to give up their, you know, with it, it's amazing. I just want to pay my respects and say, sir, wherever you are right now, whatever world you believe in, whatever happens, I hope you're in a most amazing place where you never have to lift a finger again and everything's done for you, because there was 2,000 students in a school and this bloke took on the suicide bomber and gave the absolute, the biggest gift ever that he could, his life.
It's amazing, you know. He's 15 years old, and he wouldn't. Do you know what I bet? He wouldn't have even thought about it. He just would have done it.
Yes.
And it would have come from a place very primal that we all have within us, with the fight or flight response.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't have even thought about it. He just would have done it. But what it just blows my mind, the capacity for human beings to do things like that, and absolutely, just sacrifice yourself without even thinking about it, just to save everybody else, to say, no, you're not going to do this here. Sorry, it's not going to happen. And if I got to take you down and go with you, then so be it. And I just, you know, there's not enough you can say about this. There aren't words.
There's one thing I've forgotten to say. Aziz Hassan, thank you, sir. You're a wonderful 15-year-old. Whatever you ever has gone on before, you are a tribute to your community. You are a tribute to the human race. And I love you to bits, sir. You are wonderful. And I'm so sorry for his family. But I do endorse what his mum said, that her son made her cry, but saved hundreds of mothers from crying from their children. And
I think
that is phenomenal. And the people who were behind this suicide bombing, take notice, you lost.
Well, that's right, yeah.
You lost.
Spot on, yeah.
You lost big time.
Yeah, he was quite heroic, and I don't think there's anything else to say other than I think we show him the respect that hopefully the rest of the world is going to show him and his family.
Indeed.
Something to learn.
Yeah, guys, just a moment, please, of silence and respect for young Aziz. Thank you. We move on, ladies and gentlemen, to Kirsty Allsop, who you may or may not know. She does a lot of sort of housing-type programs and how to fix stuff, and then she does all of her little fancy at home. She did a program on how to do Christmas on a budget and things like that. And quite a lot of tragedy in her family because her mother's just died of breast cancer just months after her TV star sister had a double mastectomy. That's not nice, is it?
No, I hope she's caring for her health because it's clearly prevalent in that family. It's just you have to be so careful with yourself when all around you have that illness.
Yeah, and I would say, on a serious note for a moment, that young ladies out there, never, ever be afraid to go to your physician, go to your doctor, wherever. If you think there's a little lump in one of those places, under your arms, on your breast, go and get checked. If you get checked,
this happened to me a couple of years ago. I was doing my exam myself as instructed to by my GP, and everybody should do it. All girls should do it. Even guys should do it, actually, because I know of men who have had breast cancer.
Yeah.
And I found a lump, and I was alarmed. I was a bit alarmed, and I thought, it's probably nothing. But then the other part of me said, no, just go get it checked. Just go, because if it's nothing, it's nothing, and you have wasted no one's time.
Great.
They encouraged you to do this. So I did, and it was nothing, and I was lucky. But, I mean, you know, if what would have happened if I hadn't have gone and it was something?
Well, let me give you
might not be talking to you now.
This is going to shock you, because I'm going to be very fiscal now. And you're going to go, what? Fiscal? What's that got to do with it? What's money got to do with cancer? The fact is, if you go early and get diagnosed and it's a tiny little problem and you can do it in a couple of minutes, that costs X amount of money. If you leave it and end up having to go for different chemos and all the other treatments that come when you've gone down the track a bit, that costs tens of thousands of pounds. So actually, you're doing your country a service by going early. Seriously.
I think that's a good point. I think also, Rachel made a good point about blokes.
Yep.
We blokes are...
terrible.
Desperately ridiculous about going to the doctors about things. Mm. And I know personally that I've had not cancer scares, but things that I've not been sure of, and I've totally ignored it and pretended there was nothing there. And ultimately, luckily, in my life, up to now, there hasn't been anything there. But what a pathetic way to act. And the thing that interests me, what Rachel was saying, is about men and breast cancer. It's not a joke. It's not something that's not like a rarity. It's something that actually happens. And there are quite
a few... really common.
Yeah, quite a few celebrities in the UK, male celebrities, have actually come forward and said that they've suffered it. And it's embarrassing for a bloke to say that kind of thing. It's not like saying you've got prostate cancer at all.
When you hear breast cancer, you immediately think women. Immediately think women.
Yep.
And you hear the word breast, you immediately think women. Well, I think of a chicken, but, you know. but it's true. It's amazing how many men – there's a really famous woman who lives here who actually spent a good deal of time living in the UK. You guys might know her by name. Her name's Julia Morris. She's a comedian and an actress.
Yes, yeah.
And her husband, they did a TV interview earlier in the year. He had it, and he nearly died.
Wow.
And, of course, you know, we know all the women who have had it, but you don't hear about the guys saying, I've had it, and it's not as rare as one would think. So I think just be mindful of your health.
Do you know what?
And don't think that it's girly to go to the doctor. It's not. It's sensible.
No, I was going to say, echo your comment really, Rach, that, you know, don't be girly, fellas. You're not a wimp by going there.
No.
Because you're actually going to do yourself a bit good. Why not?
There's something else that's really important on this as well. That it's an historic fear we have of cancer, and you know, I was born a few years ago, and there's been a fair amount of cancer in my family, and in those days, say back in the 60s and the 70s, or even the 80s, it was a major thing, and it was almost certainly a death sentence.
Equals death.
There are adverts on the television at the moment in the UK from cancer charities saying that within the next 10 to 20 years most people will survive cancer. And what's happened where we have this fear going back to, you know, the mid part of the last century, cancer is now curable. Mm-hmm. And instead of living in abject fear of the fact that you might have something, go and find out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's
true to say that, you know, the figures that are brandished around in many countries of one in three people having a family member who has some form of cancer is not unreal. My late father had cancer, but he got it treated and he lived for many, many years. My younger brother had testicular cancer, was cured from it, and he carries on being a normal, well, as normal as my brother and I can be.
believe me,
my
I know.
My brother had that too, Eric.
Yeah, because you know my brother, don't you, Lee? Yes. Enough said.
I don't know why I laughed.
No, but we are kind of two peas out of the same pod, I suspect. But anyway, let's move on, ladies and gentlemen, because still to come for you techies, we've got the Consumer Electronics Show report, which is very saddening.
It is very saddening that we're going to spend so much time on this.
It is very saddening, not for the reasons you might think. But
it's a load of rubbish, ladies and gentlemen.
You'll have to wait and see why I'm sad. Normally, when one of these gentlemen that Lee will talk about avidly, I'm sure, passes over. I'm not terribly worried, but this one I am, because Phil Everly, I consider to be one of the great musicians of the world and one of the great innovators of the world, and sadly died at the age of 74 in California, and that was due to a lifetime of smoking, they say. Eek.
Put it out, Eric.
I'm the same, I must admit.
Where's your spy cam, Rach?
Put it out, you boys. Put it out.
No, I actually smoke. This is going to sound absolutely bizarre. I do smoke.
And we don't encourage anybody else to, by the way.
And we don't. No. I actually smoke, and this sounds incredible. I smoke for 4 months of the year. The rest of the year, I don't. Crazy.
No, but that's the way it is. I know lots of people who do that, who block smoke like that.
Yeah.
I don't understand how it can be done, because once you get an addiction to nicotine, it's pretty fierce. But it's not unheard of, but yeah, part-time smoker, not really committed to it.
Actually, I know quite a few of those. It's really weird.
It's dead simple. I enjoy smoking. I really enjoy it. And when I have my first smoke or whatever it is, I really, really like it. The second one I enjoy. And then after a few weeks, it starts to make me feel ill. I don't like the way I feel, so I stop. But then I always go back to it. And unfortunately, the ultimate consequences of smoking are what happened to Phil Everly. It's just a tragedy. And
he was a trailblazer, wasn't he, Phil Everly?
Oh, yes.
And his brother Don, weren't they? This is one of these people who goes over generations.
Mm.
And these are the guys I like. I mean, the guys that you were listening to before I was even a glint in my father's eye.
Thank you.
And whose songs I know really well, and my daughter knows their songs. It's, you know, when you make an impact on the world with your music like that, that's amazing. But they were trailblazers. They really were.
And I don't think they were typical of 1950s music. I think they were much, much more advanced than that. And as you say, Rach, you know, the minute anybody goes, bye-bye, love, everybody's off.
Yeah.
They're in there like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, you've got to take into consideration who they were performing. I've got to be honest, I didn't particularly rate the Everly Brothers as something beyond a very good pop band. There was Buddy Holly and all sorts of people around at the time, which I considered to be better. But yeah, I agree, the Everly Brothers did make their monarch on music, very much so in the way that ABBA have made their mark on music.
Right.
Yeah, they're another one of the same.
But since his death, it's amazing. And sad, really, but their album sales have soared by 455%.
It's amazing when that happens, when an artist dies. You remember when Michael Jackson died and everything that he ever recorded just went berserk?
Yep.
And I thought, wow, this is amazing. Like, first of all, I thought half the planet already had his stuff anyway. And what is that? And then I thought, is it a memorial, or is it just sort of really sort of macabre? Like,
it's just people forget about them, don't they? They forget about the artist, and because they are a long time in the past, and it brings back memories of things that I don't have an Everly Brothers song in my vast collection of music, but and I wouldn't actually go out and buy any. But when you think who they were with, they could have been overshadowed a little bit. You know, you've got Chuck Berry, who played phenomenal music.
Oh.
Yeah.
To go and see Chuck Berry live.
Amazing.
He's amazing.
Yeah. I actually saw him with Keith Richard out of the Stones live. And what a performance.
Yeah.
And Keith Richard showed so much respect for Chuck Berry. It was phenomenal. And the sounds they came out with were incredible. Really, Chuck Berry had one song, like a lot of people.
My Ding-a-ling.
Yeah.
No, he had one song. I mean, every song was based on one song.
My Ding-a-ling.
He had the same blueprint for every song.
My Ding-a-ling.
Stop trying to attend to
your
ding-a-ling
away.
I've just got this vision, because I actually got to know this bloke afterwards. This enormous bouncer on the stage where he was playing, and he was like a brick outhouse. I was keeping that clean. He was enormous, this guy called Les, and he was the most professional bouncer you ever wish to see, although he was a giant. And, you know, he was the perfect stooge for Chuck Berry. Because at the end of My Ding-a-ling, when everybody's supposed to sing, he goes right up to this guy who's enormous, and I mean enormous. He's a giant, and says, "You must be playing with your own ding-a-ling." And he didn't even flinch. It was hysterical. The audience went wild. And funnily enough, I met him years later when I was a DJ and he was a bouncer at a nightclub. And I told him the story, and he said, shut up with your face. But
Quick poll.
What?
Phil Everly or Elvis?
Phil Everly.
Or Scott Walker?
Phil Everly.
Scott Walker.
See, I wouldn't agree with you any time. I would pick him, some PJ Proby or Phil Everly.
Phil Everly.
I disagree.
I don't even know who those people are. That's not fair.
Well, that's okay, because you're not culturally aware.
Scott McKenzie did...
Scott Walker!
Oh, Scott Walker, sorry. he was one of the flower...
You don't know him either, then.
He was one of the flower power era of the 60s.
He was.
He sung those silly ballads.
Can you hum me a few bars?
He was a torch ballad singer.
Name me a song. Give me a song that he sang.
Go on, Lee, sing a song.
The sun ain't gonna shine anymore.
Oh, I know him.
The moon ain't gonna rise
in your eyes.
Like I said, it's lift music. That's got rid of him out of the way, then, isn't it? Are we still going on? No, it's still going on. No, I'm sorry, I can't.
I changed the lyrics to compensate for what you were doing.
I know you did. Everly Brothers, Phil Everly all the way through. Let's move on, ladies and gentlemen. Blimey. Another serious little story. And I was very honoured to see this senior American officer in the UK speaking about the tragedy of a helicopter crash in Norfolk from USAF, the United States Air Force. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, "We've always had this great relationship between the USA and the UK, and we are as one, and we are again now." Yeah. And that's as he was explaining what had happened, or provisionally happened, with the helicopter crash. And we're very sorry to the families who died there. And it is a possible bird strike, which is probably the only answer coming through anyway that got into the engines. And it's sad to see those guys go, and we hope that the positive memories their family has is what they will now live on.
You're a bit concerning, though. I agree. I'm not taking America or the UK to task in any way over this. It's just a tragedy, and there's been another one since in America. Yeah. But it is concerning that they're out on whatever it's called, exercise.
Yeah.
And they're flying low, flying at speed, and there is always a danger of something happening, like it did happen.
And the bird, in both a fixed wing and in a helicopter, the one of the most fearful things you ever do, and if you go into a simulator, one of the things they will do, pardon me, is they will simulate a bird strike in the simulator.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is the most horrendous thing when you're sitting in the pilot seat. Because there's alarms going off everywhere, your controls rattle. It makes your bones rattle, the ferociousness of what happens. And, you know, it is a fearful thing. But, you know, that's Mother Nature.
Oh, I agree. What I was going to say is, though, because it's an exercise and because, you know, they weren't out there actually doing something for real, it was an exercise, which exercise...
Just manoeuvres.
They were actually carrying and now searching for... live ammunition, which has been scattered across the Norfolk countryside, and that's worrying. That's worrying that this could have been a lot worse because of the... Why do they need to carry live ammunition on an exercise?
Because they actually shoot at things for real.
Well, what are they going to shoot
the
for
exercise
real?
As well?
Yeah, they do. They genuinely shoot at real targets in these.
But why do they need? Why do they need live ammunition? Why can't you do what you normally do on practice? Is shoot blanks.
Well, because otherwise they wouldn't hit the thing and blow it up and know how to fly above places and where you should do stuff with turbulence and all sorts of stuff.
Interesting point. I take your point. Yeah, as I say, I'm not trying to take them to task over it. Just a bit concerned.
Right, we can get into the new tobacco story, which is that of sugar. And it does scare me a little bit because I confess in the couple of minutes we've got to talk about this, I am one of those people that when I'm driving, if I'm a little bit tired, I neck down one of those energy drinks rather quickly, and they are so full of sugar.
Well, they're not only full of sugar, they're full of poison. You shouldn't drink those, Uncle Eric.
Oh, no.
I think this is really interesting. I think it's really interesting facts here. You'll have to bear with me, right, on this. But in 1700, right, not the time, not at 5 o'clock, in the year 1700, the average person consumed about £4 of sugar a year. In 1800, it was about £18. In the 1900s, it was £90 of sugar per year. Mm-hmm. In 2009, when the last poll was taken, the average person was eating an amazing 180 pounds of sugar a year.
Oh, my God.
Sugar. And that's
progress.
Yeah.
Because it's in everything.
I'm just spitting out the coffee with all the sugar in it.
Eat. It's processed sugar is the worst kind of sugar there is.
Yeah.
And it's in everything you eat. You cannot avoid it. It's in everything.
And so, again, because we've only got a couple of minutes, boys and girls. But this is one of the things it highlights, and you've got to be serious about this. You know, I would have said Heinz tomato soup is a great product.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure it is. But it's got huge amounts of sugar. We know Mars bars have got lots of sugar, and that's obvious. It's chocolate, it's sweeties. But when you look at something like zero-fat yogurts...
I know!
They're worse for you than full-fat yogurts, you know. They're much worse for you than full-fat yogurts. Read the labels, everybody, and look at the fat and sugar content on the back, and then make your judgment.
Oh, I love you, Rachel Brunston. I love you, Rachel Brunston. Because she just said, I can have full-fat yogurts. Yes, I love them.
It's better for you.
This is really important.
What?
People on diets and for health reasons are told to eat fruit. And I eat quite a lot of fruit.
So do I.
This report says that you've got to be careful with your fruit consumption because each piece of fruit contains at least 25 grams of sugar.
Yeah, but it's different sugar. That's not refined sugar. It's regular sugar.
Yeah, that's
so
different.
It's not as bad as refined sugar.
No, it's not
as
bad.
It's not as bad as refined. It's not great, but it's not as bad as refined sugar. You just gotta be careful about what fruits you eat.
Okay, that's it, boys and girls. That's it for part one, boys and girls. We'll be back in part two where we'll be seeing how last England cricketers did something decent down in Australia, the first thing they've ever done. Lee reckons he's got a place for me, and we will have a look at the biggest tech show in the world, with absolutely virtually nothing to buy.
I'll try and talk through it, ladies and gentlemen.
While the break's on, go and have an energy drink. We'll be back in a second. Take care, boys. Don't go away.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.